Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Eric Holt Jimenez. He is the executive director of Food First, the Institute for Food and Development Policy, and the mission of the Institute is to eliminate the injustices that cause hunger. Eric, tell me a little bit about your background, how you got involved in food and farming, and how you ended up in the job that you're in today.
Well, I grew up on farms in Northern California, dairy farms mostly, and then I worked my way through college, working summers on hay farms and whatnot. And then from there, I went to Latin America. I went to Central America and Mexico to study education. And while I was studying the rural education, I realized that what I really wanted to do was work in agricultural development. And I found a volunteer position with the Mexican Friends Purpose Committee in Mexico City. And so I started working with small sustainable agriculture program and sort of very quickly realized that I had no business trying to teach farmers to farm. In fact, the farmers there were perfectly capable of developing their own agriculture. What we ended up doing was supporting them in that, and it led to a movement called the Farmer to Farmer Movement, or the Campesino a Campesino Movement. So what was supposed to be a two-year volunteer stint in Mexico turned into about 25 years of chasing the movement around Central America as it grew, and then on to Africa and Asia and other parts of the world. Came back to the U.S. and was very interested in answering the question, you know, these are such good farmers. Why isn't everybody doing these practices? And I realized that I had to study the structures of agriculture much more, the rules, the institutions, the things that either promote or hold back different types of alternatives to conventional agriculture. And so I came back and I got a doctorate at the University of California, political economy and agroecology. And that really fit right in with Food First. Food First is a think and do tank. They have projects on the ground, and they also do research and publish around the root causes of hunger. So I've been doing some work with Food First. They published my first book, Campesino, Campesino, and when the opportunity arose to apply for the executive director position.
Okay. And what is food sovereignty?
Food sovereignty is a very exciting concept to come out of the global south. And it's basically about the democratization of our food systems. It was sort of invented and championed by Via Campesina, which is a peasant federation with over 140 different organizations from around the world. They basically came together because small farmers worldwide have been under attack over the last 30 years by neoliberal globalization policies, which have dismantled all of the supports for the smallholder agriculture, destroyed all of the granaries, cut back on all of the ministries of agriculture, all the extension systems, really destroyed all of the safety nets which helped small farmers produce half of the world's food. So in response to this assault on their livelihoods, small farmers came up with this concept of food sovereignty, which is really sovereignty, you know, the right to choose the type of food system which best suits us and not have those choices made by the market, which is controlled by monopolies.
It seems like a lot of pressure is put on developing countries to raise food for international market. Does Food First and does the food sovereignty movement try to look at self-sustaining food production within the country as one of the things that seems to be missing?
Well, it is one of the things that's missing, but it's important to note that food sovereignty is not against trade. It's against the type of trade that we have today, which is monopolized by large corporations like Archer Daniels Midland or Monsanto or Cargill. We really need to put the market in perspective. If it's a global market, quote-unquote free, it's not free at all if it's controlled by a handful of monopolies. Mm-hmm. So it's about having not just countries, but even within countries, having the small farm sector decide how to organize the food system. And the first thing, of course, is to get a fair price to farmers. They're not getting a fair price now. Not in this country, they don't get a fair price either. So we have subsidies so that they can sell their grain cheap, which means that ADM and Cargill and Bunge can buy the grain cheap and then sell it overseas at prices which are far below the cost of production. And so other farmers can't compete, and so they go out of business. That's what food sovereignty has reacted against. Now, what food sovereignty is for is about much more sustainable forms of production, much more equitable forms of production and commerce.
What sorts of things historically have led to the need for the food sovereignty movement?
Well, we have today what's called a corporate food regime, which, as I mentioned, is controlled primarily by large corporate monopolies and held in place by public institutions, both multilateral and national public institutions, who enforce the rules of the regime. The USDA, the WTO, the World Bank, these are all part of the institutions of the corporate food regime. And it's been built over the last 50 years, starting with the Green Revolution, financed by the Ford and Rockefeller Foundations originally, which industrialized production systems around the world and made farmers dependent on chemical inputs and hybrid seeds. And then the structural adjustment policies of the 80s and 90s, which destroyed the public sector and basically made food systems around the world dependent on the global market rather than their national or regional markets. And then the third step, of course, is the cementing of these policies, which were imposed by the IMF and the World Bank, into international treaties through the World Trade Organization, the WTO. So they're far away from where the public can't get their hands on them. And that's constructed this corporate food regime. So the history of the world food crisis is also the history of the construction of the corporate food regime, and it's the history of the construction of food sovereignty and food justice in this country, which has been the pushback against this trend towards the neoliberal monopolization of our food supply.
It all sounds so big to me. It's just making me wonder, what could I as an individual do that might make a change?
Well, you know, people have been fighting back against this all around the world for several decades, very creatively, from the simple things like school gardens or community gardens to much more complicated things like campaigns to get agriculture out of the WTO or campaigns to roll back the ethanol subsidies or to roll back GMOs. What's very interesting is that we're beginning to see these different movements converge in all of their diversity. And this is really, I think, very promising, because if we expect to reform or transform our food systems and take power back from the corporate food regime, we're going to need very strong social movements. So my advice to people is to do what is immediately available, be that a garden or getting involved in a local food policy council, for example, or a farm-to-school program, but also do some of the long-term political work, which would be to network with the U.S. Alliance for Food Sovereignty, join the Community Food Security Coalition, join the Food Policy Council, begin to do the political work to change the rules in institutions that have created this very dysfunctional corporate food regime.
Well, what I'd like to do, Eric, we're running out of time here today, but what I'd like to do is come back next week and talk a little bit more about some of the things that individuals can do to make these changes and find out how people can get involved with Food First.
That'd be wonderful.
I do want to let everyone know that Eric Holt Jimenez, Executive Director of Food First, is going to be on campus at Humboldt State University on Thursday, April 21st at 5:30 p.m. in the Behavior and Social Sciences Building, Room 166, to provide a presentation as part of the Environment and Community Program Sustainable Future Speaker Series. And for more information about the presentation, you can contact Noah Zerbe in the Department of Politics at 826-3911.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Eric Holt Jimenez, Executive Director for Food First.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every got to do. Come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.